First John chapter 3, verse 8. First John chapter 3, verse 8. Let's read this in one accord. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Why is Jesus the only way for us? We have to nurture the new families accurately. Every religion, every country has its religions. And Christianity does exist in many countries. But those nations have never heard of the accurate gospel. Therefore, they don't truly understand what the gospel is. And they know the gospel religiously. But that is where all the problems begin. We have to proclaim the correct gospel. If we do not come to the answer of why Jesus is the only way, problems will continue to surface. And it's because you don't know two things. People don't know what the spiritual problem is. And they don't know what salvation is. If you don't know the spiritual problem, or if you don't know what salvation is, then people will ask, why is Jesus the only way? And so many people say, aren't religions all the same? And they say there's truth in whatever religions say. So they ask, why do we only say that Jesus is the way? And many people ask these kind of questions. And they say that, you know, Christianity is incorrect because they only emphasize one God. But truthfully, every human being has a spiritual problem. And if you don't know what the spiritual problem is, then you're going to say that Christianity is flabbergasted and it's incorrect. Or if you don't know what salvation is, then they're going to say all religions are the same. And most people cannot discern between salvation and lifestyle. That's why they say that all religions are the same. And what they emphasize is deeds, good deeds, or actions. And religion's goal is for all people to act well, to do good deeds. And people say that people are good depending on their action, or bad depending on their bad action, so that's why they emphasize good deeds. And religions say that you have to accumulate these good deeds, these, you know, good actions, then you have a better karma or such things like that. And they say that you have to accumulate good deeds in order to be saved. And if you don't know what salvation is, even if you are affiliated with a Christian, you will fall into religion. Christianity is truthfully not a religion. Christ is life itself. And God is alive. And our soul is also alive. And God does not die. He is eternal being. And He exists for eternity. And believing in that God is believing in the gospel of life. And we're not living our Christian walk of faith in front of a dead God. We are living our lives in front of God who is alive as well. And because God is alive, we have to be careful of our life as well. Because we believe in God who is also alive. We are not saved because we do good deeds or those accumulate in our lives. Religions are made from mankind. But the gospel is God, is what God has given to us. And God has come to us. And God has solved the problems for us. We call that the gospel. And we have to teach this well to the new families. And that is because they heard many of these words when they were younger. And that's why they misconcept, thinking that if you go to church, you have to become a good person. The truth is that has nothing to do with salvation. And they emphasize a lifestyle first. For us, lifestyle is not the primary focus. It is receiving salvation first. In other words, your spiritual problems must be solved first. And your fundamental problem must be solved first. That's the gospel. But religion does not speak of that spiritual problem. Instead, they emphasize you need to have a good heart, a good mind, or a good deeds, or a good lifestyle. And so the goal for religion is the action, is the deeds. But the goal of the gospel is for your soul to meet God first. And so the standard of religion is the action, is the deed. And many people judge and see people in the church with these set of standards as well. Or people judge and criticize depending on the actions that they do. But in Christianity, that's not how we look at people. Our primary focus is that person saved? Is that person a child of God? Is that person really receive salvation or not? But people cannot discern between the salvation and the lifestyle. And you must be able to discern for the new families what salvation is and what the lifestyle is. Number two, if you are not saved, you have fallen into the state of destruction. No matter how much you do good deeds, good actions, charity, or whatever it is, if you're not saved, you are in the state of destruction. Because the action or deeds is not the standard of salvation. What is the standard? First of all, if you separate from God, you have the original sin. And this is the state of not being saved. And that means you are born in the family line of Adam. And you are a child of Adam, or descendant of Adam. In other words, you are born with the fundamental problem. What does that mean? It means that you are seized by Satan. You are born already seized by Satan. And if you're seized by Satan, that means that you are already in the state of destruction. But does that mean your life is destroyed? The Bible doesn't really talk much about your lifestyle. But God is always talking about spiritual things. God's thinking about the spirituality. Spiritually, you are already dead. Spiritually, you are already destroyed. And we call that hell. And we call that going to Satan's kingdom. God does not speak of physical destruction or lifestyle destruction. He talks about the spiritual destruction. And because you're spiritually destroyed and dead, that's why your physical life also is destroyed and dead. Right? Through spiritual destruction, physical destruction comes to you. We call that disasters. Right? That's why every single human being first must be saved. Their spirit is seized by Satan. Their soul is seized by Satan. And so for mankind, it's either you're being seized by the evil spirit, by Satan, or you are with the Holy Spirit. If your soul is seized by the evil spirit, by Satan, then you absolutely will do idol worship, and you will worship the devil. And so, for those who are seized by Satan, their fate is seized by Satan, rightfully they'll go to shamans, fortune tellers, or religion. And that is being cursed. Their soul is cursed. Their soul is already cursed. Because it is cursed, they do these kind of weird things. But a child of God or a spirit, the Holy Spirit is within you, there's no reason for you to do this and you won't do this, right? Right, doing idol worship or, you know, rituals and shamans, that's completely being destroyed. When you evangelize, you will meet people who has these altars and pictures of the deceased, especially their parents and their house, and they worship them. But they don't know that that's actually worshiping the evil spirit. They just think they're serving their ancestors in a good way. But that's what you have to tell them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. The worship of the pagans are the worship or worshiping of the evil spirit. It's bringing in the evil spirit to them. That's why Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 5. When you do idol worship, your family will be destroyed for 3-4 generations. Right, worshipping your ancestors sounds very good. Right, that's filial piety, but the method is incorrect because you're actually just bringing in the evil spirit into your heart. And that brings disaster upon your family and household. And you have to relay this message to the new families. And if the evil spirit continues to work upon your family and a household, then there's going to be complete destruction. But there is only one that is saved. There's only one that can save, sorry. Only one savior. Many people say this. Right? And for salvation, how come there's only one way? Right? Going to Tokyo Station, is there only one way to go there? Right, we can go this way, we can go that way, as long as we get to destination. And that sounds very good. And if you say there's only one way, that sounds very bold and, you know, very, you know, and especially in this age of plurality, you know, they say you need many ways. And they say as long as you get to destination, then whatever path you take is fine. And that's how people, you know, talk about Christianity. And what they say is very modern and very good, right? But truthfully, there is no this way or that way. The only way to be saved, the only way to go to God's kingdom is one way. Acts 4, verse 12, for there is no other name given to you by which you can be saved. Those who say that there are other ways to be saved is because they don't know what the true problem is. And they only see things physically. They don't know the spiritual things at all. They don't know what true salvation is. That's why they choose one religion out of many religions, saying that, you know, well, this fits my lifestyle. But actually, there are a lot of Christians in church who think that way as well. Even pastors. And there are even pastors who go on the day of the birthday of Buddha and gives their benediction. And there are many weird pastors like that, crazy pastors like that. But they all say that religion is the same. Then do you think they really know the spiritual problem? Do you think they really know what salvation is? Do you think they know who Satan is? No, they don't. The title is a pastor, but they don't know the gospel itself. But the pastors, Buddhist monks, and Catholic priests, they all gather and they have their own meetings. And they, you know, coordinate these events between religions, and they do their meetings and stuff. But there is no other way for us to be saved. Why is that? There is no one that can crush the authority of Satan. It's only Christ. Right? Only Christ is the one that can crush the authority of Satan. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For the Son of God has come to crush the works of the devil. And to solve this problem, God had to come with flesh. He had to come with flesh to save us. He must come with flesh, but he must have no sin. If he has sin, he is not the Christ. If you're a descendant of Adam, you cannot be saved. Right? That's why you must be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Look, a virgin gave birth to a child. And God must come with flesh like mankind so that he can save us. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ has died at once for our sins. And the right one has died for the evil ones. And he moved us from death to life. So he had to die with flesh for us. So his flesh died for us, but through his spirit we have been saved. So to save all souls, Jesus had to come with flesh and he had to die with human flesh for our sins to be saved. And who is this Jesus? He is not the offspring of Adam. And the Bible says there is no righteous person in this world. For all have sins and fall short of the glory of God. And so no human being on this earth can become a God. Buddha is not God. They made him into a God, but he is not. He does not exist on his own. Muhammad is also a prophet, but he is not a God, right? There is no existence on this earth that cannot exist on its own, except for God or Jesus Christ. And he was conceived and born through the Virgin Mary, the offspring of woman. For a virgin gave birth to a child. Does that mean he does not need the seed of man, of Adam? That was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Right? And God must come with flesh with no sin to save sinners like us. And he shed his own blood on the cross and he had to die. And after his death, he must resurrect. And what is resurrection? Resurrection means that you have overcome death. He is not seized by death. He overcame death. And he has overcome, he has beaten death. He has beaten sin. He has beaten Satan. And he is not seized by the background of hell. He has beaten hell, and that is Christ. Right? When you believe in this Jesus as the Christ, you are saved.
Amen.
It's not just saying believe in Jesus, you have to explain one by one to the new families. God has called us, and God Himself came to save us. And God Himself came to crush the works of the devil. And in reality, God is alive right now and is helping us. And how's that possible? When you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the evil spirit flees. Satan flees. The forge of darkness is crushed when you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. All disaster curses is broken when you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so we see the evidence in our reality. If you look at Paul in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, he drives out the evil spirit of a slave girl who was possessed by the evil spirit. When you live a long walk of faith, your Christian life becomes a habit. And you can lose hold of this actual gospel. And you can live your walk of faith in a formality. But that's what we call religion. Every single day we must remain inside this thanksgiving of salvation. And you must give this confession. Whenever you pray, you must confess. When you're alone, you must really confess to God about the grace you have received from Him. And then it doesn't become a habit or religious, because it's a new confession every day, right? You have to confess every day. And you need to have this thanksgiving and moving of heart every day. That's God's grace. Now what happens when that grace falls or goes somewhere else? You become more human. You become more human-centered. You may become people-centered. Right? There's no thanksgiving. And that's why we say your faith falls down. Then what happens? Disasters will come to you. And all problems will appear and surface. That's why every single day we have to remain inside God's grace. So may you enjoy this blessing every day. And what is salvation? What is salvation? It is absolutely being free from sin. What sin? The original sin. Self-committed sin. And ancestral sin. You are free from these three sins every single day. What is salvation? Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. That there is no judgment, for you have been moved from the law of sin and death. What is original sin? This original sin is not a concept that takes place once or 2 days. No, it's an eternal thing. It's not a sin that brings disaster for a year or two. This original sin is eternal. And that's what we call the original sin. What happens after we die? We'll go to God's kingdom, right? And God's kingdom is also eternal. Let's say you don't meet God and you go to hell. Then you will suffer in hell for eternity. We're not talking about 10, 20, 100,000 years. We're talking about eternity. And that's how scary original sin is. Because it's not a problem that can be solved in a day or two. It's an eternal problem. And that's why being free from original sin is salvation.
Amen.
So let's say this person next to us. I congratulate you. Congratulate you for being free from your original sin. It's something to congratulate. Think about it. Right, let's say you're in a fire and you're inside that house. How long could you last until you faint and die? But you are there for eternity. And death escapes you. And let's say you're in that suffering your entire life, for eternity. That's what hell is like. Right, it's difficult going through a 1 day or 2 day of suffering, right? But that's eternity. Thankful we're saved. To be saved is eternal blessing. But if Christians don't have this thanksgiving and moving of heart of salvation, then it's going to be difficult. That's what salvation is about. And there's self-committed sin. self-commitment is a sin that you commit on your own. But how do you commit these sins? Is it because only because of your desire? Truthfully, no. You commit sins because of the background of the original sin. So original sin connects to the self-committed sins. And because Jesus Christ finished my original sin problem, that's when we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us for our self-committed sins. And that's what we call repentance. And that's self-committed sin. Right? We humans, we commit sin even though we're not taught how to sin. Did your parents teach you how to lie? No, when you lied, then your parents would hit you. Right? And you'd be educated that lying is bad. But we lie to protect our own selves. But what's the background of that? The original sin. That's why we say the original sin is the fundamental problem. It's the roots of all problems. Right? And that original sin problem must be solved. And that is what God is talking about. Because of that origin, that source, all other problems arises. And then what's answers to our sin? It's doing idol worship. Worshipping other gods. And you're calling in the evil spirits. And those come because of the original sin. God loves the sinner, but God hates the sin that is inside that sinner. God hates the sin that's inside of me. But God loves the mankind, even though they commit sins. Right? So we have received love from God.
Amen.
And if you really dissect and digest and really, you know, repeatedly meditate upon this word of God, how much thankful you'd be, and how much do you know the importance of this worship? And how great is it, and how important is it for our soul to hear this gospel? But most people don't think about this, and they just let this message go. And they're just thankful that they've been saved. And they only think about that general concept of being saved or being a child of God. Or if a problem arises, then I just should pray to God. And habitually, you're just living this religious lifestyle, even though no one taught you to. And so instead of grace, it's more humanism. And that's where the gospel is being mixed with other things. And your walk of faith is being confused with other things. That's why you're not rooting the gospel deep down inside of you. And you're becoming more world-centered. And if a problem comes, then you fall down to that. And you fall down again. Why? Because you've lost the taste, the deep taste of the gospel. Believers of God, you have to restore that. Every day, you have to go before the grace of God's throne. That's the walk of faith. We were people who had the original sin, self-committed sins, and ancestral sin. But you have been freed from that. But when a problem arises, then we go back to our former self. We go back to self-committed sins or ancestral sins. And we go back to our former self. Because that was better, that was more peaceful. We were born from there, so we feel more relaxed there. We feel more comfortable where we're from. Instead of receiving grace, it's more comfortable living in the world because that's where we grew up. Instead of following the word of God, it's more relaxing and more comfortable following the world. Because that's where we came from. But we have been free from that, we have been saved from that. But it's a habit to go back. When we lose all the what? When you lose hold of thanksgiving, of the salvation you received through Jesus Christ. When you lose hold of that grace, you go back. Do you understand? That's about to be filled by the Holy Spirit every day. And the reason you have to live a life of prayer is to, you know, sustain that level of spiritual state. If you don't sustain and continue your spiritual state, the force of darkness can work against you. But and God also gives you problems so that you will realize what God's plan is. And so gospel must become the main essence of your life, right? Not the original sin, but the gospel must become the main essence in your life. That's why you have to have the imprint, roots, and nature. And you will receive grace. And that's what you listen to God's word, that's what you receive grace and pray. And you listen to God's word and you look toward God and you continue to pray toward the throne of God's grace. And there is no other way to change your spiritual state other than that. When you're in the life of grace, that is when blessings will come to you. And so your spiritual state will change, sorry. So please enjoy this blessing. And so what is salvation? Salvation is being free from the hands of Satan. Your fate has now been free from Satan's hands. John chapter 8 verse 44 says you're born from your father, the devil. But John chapter 1 verse 12, you changed into a child of God. You no longer receive influence from Satan, but now you receive influence from God.
Amen.
That's why it's only God's word. You have to remain in the gospel. You have to think of the gospel. And we have been free from our afterlife. In other words, we are free from hell. And we move to the afterlife and to going to hell, to heaven. And so we have been changed from a citizen of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. And your name is written in the book of life in heaven. So as you live your life on this earth, as those who are saved, every single day must live your life as a witness. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7. For the upcoming ages, God has remained us as witnesses. That's the one who is saved.
Amen.
Only Jesus is the way. And you have to help. You have to help the new families and release message to them. Before they come to church, you have to realize they already have the incorrect view of religion in them. What they saw and heard. What they saw and heard through the neighbors around them, people around them. And they already have this incorrect view of religion in their mind. You have to quickly tell them that that view is a misunderstanding, it's a misconception. And you have to change them in the gospel. That's why we're doing the word movement, right? That's why we're doing the Darabban movement. You have to change that person's incorrect view, incorrect imprints in them through the gospel, and that's Darabban. If you don't do Darabban with them, then they will live with the incorrect view set, and because that's not changed, they come to church and they listen to God's word through their incorrect view set, and they live the incorrect walk of faith. That's why Tarapan is very important. They must continue to receive the imprint of nature of the gospel through the word member that you arise with them. You listen to God's word for many years, but how much is really left in your brain? You've been to many trainings, you've been to many conferences, but how much is the message really arranged in you, right? I'm sure you forgot most of the messages. That's why you meet them every week, and every week you have to tell them the word of God. Later on, that becomes an imprint. And that word will be rooted down in them. And that becomes the faith that is firmly established. And to do that, we're doing Tarapa movement. Going to church? It's not about that. How much do you think the message is going to remain in them if they only come to church once or 1 hour per week while they're living in the world, right? Even when they come here, they think of something else. And their heart is seized by something else. Yeah, they're coming to worship and sitting here. And how much do you think they really arranged that word of God that they received? Most of them forget the word of God. Right? And so they have their own view of what walk of faith is for them. But that walk of faith is only leading you toward religion, especially when time passes. You have to quickly cut that off from them and completely change them into the gospel. That's why when you do Tarapan Tokpa Chol, you're nurturing someone. This is no ordinary thing. This is an amazing blessing. And when I say this message, it seems like you already know this message. But you have to actually nurture this for them, and you have to quickly solve their misconceptions and have the imprint of the gospel. Either you do this every day or every week, or every meeting, you have to proclaim the gospel to them. And then it's really one day when a true problem arises. They realize, oh, I was being deceived by Satan. Oh, this is the darkness. Oh, this is how Satan is destroying my family line. And your spiritual eyes will open like that. That's when you gain strength. That's when you receive answers. Then you become a disciple that can save others. That's why Tarapa movement, word movement is very important. So please arrange the fourth message of the gospel letter and arrange it and pray. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Through this Friday night message, we thank you for allowing us to understand why Jesus is the only way. Many people cannot discern between salvation and lifestyle. And most people, our spiritual state is already desolate and destructive. So that they can really understand why Jesus is the only way. Bless us so that we can accurately and correctly teach them and relay the message to them. And help us not to forget this Thanksgiving movie in the hearts of salvation we receive through your grace. And bless us so that we can always raise our spiritual state in front of you, Lord. And to all the believers of the Gospel Church, so that they can nurture people with the Gospel, please grant every single one of us new strength. And we thank you and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.